Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord. Today I'm joined by Karen Kassler. She's the State House News Bureau Chief for Ohio Public Radio. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here.
You had an interview with Mark Kwame this week, and now this was his first interview that he's given since the lawsuit that got him removed from the position of Jobs Ohio director, and his first since his motocross accident. So first off, how's he doing?
Well, he seems to be doing well. This was his first broadcast interview. He's talked to a couple of print reporters, but this is the first time that anyone's really been able to see him since this accident. And he actually showed my colleague Joe Ingles and I a picture of himself after this accident before we started taping for our show, The State of Ohio, this week. And he was really banged up. So it is pretty amazing that he looks as normal as he does just a few weeks after this very serious accident. And this was an opportunity for us. We'd been trying to reach him for weeks to get him to talk a little bit about Jobs Ohio, even though he's not officially the director of Jobs Ohio, because he couldn't be because he was a resident of California. He is now working on putting Jobs Ohio together in a position in the governor's office. This was our first opportunity to really talk to him about what exactly the program will do and our concerns about transparency and accountability, which we have concerns about as journalists, and other people have concerns about, just to make sure that this private entity will actually do what Ohioans expect it to do, which is create jobs.
What are some of the things that you learned?
Well, he's really a guy who's very, very much on message. He's very focused on what he thinks Jobs Ohio will do, and he's very committed to the idea. He talked a little bit about the proposal that actually takes the profits and the leasing of the Ohio liquor distribution and then puts that money into the state and makes it private dollars in a sense, puts that money into Jobs Ohio, rather, makes it private money so that money can be invested in companies. He really believes in that, even though there have been some people who have questioned whether that won't set up another pay-to-play scheme. I mean, are we looking at another Tom Noe kind of situation here? That's what some folks have said. The idea that a political donor, a campaign donor, can somehow have better access and get these kind of lucrative contracts, and then they benefit, and it keeps a lot of people out of the system. And that's been a big concern. And he's said, surprisingly enough, that he thinks the current system, with the governor's office running the Department of Development, actually makes it more likely to be pay-to-play than if a private entity would run it. And so he feels that the system will actually be improved. And of course, there was a big bombshell dropped in this, that he's going to actually become a resident of Ohio. He's leaving California. And he's a little vague about what he's going to do after he becomes an Ohio resident. So that was interesting to find that out, because I think we were the first people to find that out. So he was an interesting interview. And I think to hear him speak about this stuff in his own words is something that people might want to tune in for.
And where can they tune in?
Well, it's The State of Ohio. It airs on PBS stations in the Dayton area and statewide all this weekend. And you can check it out on our website at statenews.org.
You also reported this week on a provision in the budget that's being considered where for-profit charter schools will have no oversight. So can you explain the background here a little bit and why it's controversial?
Well, right now, charter schools do have to have sponsors. They have to have either an educational institution or a nonprofit to sponsor them, and that entity is doing the oversight for these charter schools. And charter schools are held to certain criteria and performance standards. So this provision in the state budget would allow for-profit charter schools with no sponsors other than the Ohio Department of Education. And I talked to Representative Ron Amstutz, who's the main sponsor of the House budget, and he says this is designed to bring charter schools into rural areas. But what we're having here is a real concern over where this idea came from. No lawmaker is taking full credit for this. It's a really interesting small provision in the budget, but it does certainly expand the reach of for-profit charter schools. And primarily the person who is essentially associated with these groups is a guy named David Brennan, who is from White Hat Management out of Akron. He's the largest charter school operator in the state, and he's also a huge campaign donor to Republican candidates. And so you've got folks who are connecting the dots there and saying that this is where that provision of the budget came from, is the connection to David Brennan.
Let's get a preview for next week. What are you all at the State House working on?
Well, next week, we've got the Senate is still looking at the budget, and it's passed the House, of course. We've got these skill games, these electronic skill games that were really controversial a couple years ago. There's a proposal now to license and limit them. It's set for a first hearing. There's also the prison sentencing reform measure that is working its way through the legislature. And we're still watching all sorts of other bills. The heartbeat bill, which is the one that would ban abortion after a fetal heartbeat is detected, that's there. There's a lot of things going on here at the State House, but of course the big thing that's still simmering in the background is the budget, and that should be coming up in the Senate in the next couple of weeks.
I've been speaking with Karen Kassler. She's with the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks.